I'm Spencer, introducing Speckled Bees, a celebration of childhood. Each week, Lucy and I dive into a subject in early childhood education and development, and once a month, we have the pleasure of interviewing an expert in a realm of childhood experiences. This month, we have been highlighting core classroom subjects, and today, I have the pleasure of covering musical education with our guest, Susan Leone.
Hello, how are you? How are you, Spencer?
I'm good. I'm very excited about this. So a little context here. Susan is actually a family member of mine. She is my husband's aunt. And it just so happens that she is an expert in musical theater, music itself. And she married that love of music into a career in education. So honestly, there's no one better for this topic that I could think of. This is amazing.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
Well, can you give us an overview of your history before education in the performing arts that led up to the point that you're in now?
Sure. I'll try to do it in a nutshell. I was surrounded by music growing up. My mother was a singer and had a strong love of music. So I grew up with that love of music. I love to sing. I love to perform. But honestly, never thought I would go into the field when I went to college. I actually went to be an English major. And then I was bit by the performing bug when King's Dominion came around and auditioned. And I auditioned and got cast and spent the summer performing. And from that moment on, I had to keep performing. So I switched my major. I became a theater major and a music minor. I had taken piano lessons for many years, voice lessons as well. And what happened next? I guess I pursued performing for many years. I moved to New York City and I did moderately well, but ended up wanting to, you know, it's a hard business to be in. So I made the decision after getting married to settle down. We settled in a suburb of New York City and started our family.
Fantastic. You actually just segued perfectly into my next question. And that's how, from that point, how did your career change? Where did childhood start coming into this?
Well, the interesting thing was, as a kid, I always dreamed about being a teacher. That's really what I would play. I would play teacher. I pretended to correct tests and papers, and that's what I'd like to do. And I also thought often about doing something with children, like child psychologist or something like that.
Ooh.
But then I started having children. I had Emma and she was a wee little baby. And I discovered this whole mommy and me thing that I didn't know it was out there. Cause how would you, if you don't have kids? And I took her to a music class. It was a mommy and me music class. And, she loved it. I mean, we also were very musical and we always had music playing. So she responded very quickly. And it was really fascinating to me to listen to this little under 12 months old imitate some of these intervals that the teacher was singing and we were doing in class. And this light bulb kind of went off in my head that I said, I could do this. Music and I love kids. And so that's when I made the decision to look into it. And I found a different program. It was actually Kinder Music that I became trained and licensed in. And I started doing that. And Emma came to all my classes. So she really grew up with music constantly.
Oh, wow. Wow. So in many ways, music was a big part of the way that you raised your children. Do you feel like it has continued to be a part of their lives? And how have you instilled those values of music in your children?
I would say it's just been so prevalent. I laugh that Nick even had my second child, Nick had even more so because I was pregnant and taught and all, you know, he was every time I taught. And they just came out really, like I said, both of them very musical, their pitch, you know, being able to match pitch. Like I did learn a lot about children and young children specifically and music. And there is a notion that a lot of people have that, oh, you're either born with it or you're not. And I don't believe that.
Oh, really?
I do think it is training your ear. I don't think you've missed the boat if you didn't do it as a child. I think it's a little harder because, you know, as you know, babies and young children have these connections they're making in their brain. And if you can get them while they're young, it's certainly easier. But yeah, I believe that both of them, there might be some inherited talent to music, but they were just around it so much. We sang, we played music, and I really think that made a really big difference. Even Nick, who doesn't like to perform as much as Emma, has a really good ear. They both
Wonderful.
Do.
Which leads me to a question on the scientific level. You just made a comment about Nicholas and how he did such a good job with when he was in the womb, he would hear the music, hear the performing. How do you feel about that theory that children should be exposed to music while they're still in vitro, while they're still in the womb? Do you think that's relevant? Do you think would you encourage other mothers to play music for their child, their unborn child?
This is going to be just my personal opinion, because honestly, I don't know what the science is behind it. I do believe it does support that, and it certainly couldn't hurt. And I can't believe that a developing child is not even picking up on the rhythms as
walking,
they feel you moving. Of course, they're going to sense those vibrations, if nothing else, I would think, of the music.
Agreed. And if anything, even for the mother's relaxation, and there's been a lot of studies that have shown that if a mother's more relaxed during a pregnancy, there's better chemicals and whatnot. I have to just say, I agree. It's what's the harm, I suppose, is what the answer could be.
Exactly. Right. And I feel like there have been some studies that have said that babies who've been talked to naturally turn toward that voice birth that they've recognized. So I feel like that's got to be true, that they're hearing that.
I have heard. I did a tad bit of research leading up to this conversation, and I was frustrated because I found one article from San Francisco Health, and they were saying that there's no true equivalent in benefits, but just bear in mind that there are many things that can harm your pregnancy, and please avoid those instead. And it was such a silly article to me, because so you're essentially saying that there is nothing wrong with doing so. And I think mothers will have the commonplace to know that they should avoid the sensical, harmful aspects to a child. It was just such a silly article released by them. So good answer. The answer is music can do little to no harm. Just don't be blasting it, right?
Yeah, so. Right.
And you were just, so you were mentioning that you feel that there's this common theory that music is inherent. I was going to ask, do you believe that all students are capable of learning inherent musical skills, or should they even learn these inherent musical skills?
I do believe. I've heard from, you know, I worked with a lot of parents with young children who'd be like, oh yeah, no, I can't sing. And what I would try to say is, it is, like I said, it's harder if it's not something you've done and you're older to train your ear, but it is training, because I've even with some friends have said, all right, you say you're tone deaf, you can't sing. Mm-hmm. Let's try this. And, you know, eventually they can match a pitch, and it's difficult, but with practice, it's going to get easier. And with children, yes, absolutely. Their ears are trained. We do a lot, even with young babies and children, we're not trying to create little musicians. At least when I was doing kinder music, that was not the goal. We did a lot of different things. We helped the whole child, social, emotional, physical, aspects of the child, but, it was all done through music, through rhythm. And, you know, I'm even thinking of like one thing we did, that comes to mind, was one of my favorite things. It was called audiation. It's help audiation. And what audiation is hearing a sound in your head, hearing the note in your head. And we all do it. I mean, you have songs in your head, but what we would do is take a familiar song and we would sing it several times all the way through. And then we would sing it and leave off the last note. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I always got tickled how many times the little ones, first of all, they stop and like, wait, what? Wait, like, you know, because it's the resolution note. It's usually the last note, right? And then many of them would have to jump in and fill it in, even the little ones, right? But it, one of the reasons we do it is so that they can hear that sound in their head. We're just leaving out the actual physical sound.
That is a beautiful story. I love that. I feel like that's something to take to heart when people are working with their children in early education with music relations is, I mean, a big part of it is just memorization and keeping things repetitive, correct? Making sure that you're consistent with the education. So absolutely love
that. Oh, repetition. Yeah, absolutely. Repetition.
Actually, the terms you just used leads me to a point I wanted to bring up. I was, so as somebody who's got no tone, have no pitch, but then again, I didn't exactly invest my time in music when I was growing up. I left it very early. I've always described myself as a visual learner. I think a lot of people do. It's meaning that I reflect best on materials when they're presented to me in a viewable format. Mm-hmm. I was reading a study leading up to this by Dr. Jennifer Mishra of the Moore School of Music. And she'd written that there's three learning types that must be accomplished in order to be a successful musician. She says that beyond visual memorization of sheet music, hand patterns, etc., you must also be capable of oral memorization and kinesthetic memorization. Oral being the memorization of sounds and notes in music, and kinesthetic mm-hmm. being the memorization of muscular movements in relation to those motions. Do you feel like you as a person have a higher propensity for those points for oral and kinesthetic memorization? Does that mean something to you? Like you think to yourself, you know what? I do pick up those notes very easily and I do memorize those movements with a little more ease.
No, it's interesting to think about because as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, I too consider myself a visual learner.
Right. It's very common.
I see things in pictures, right? Everything from emotions to, you know, everything is visual for me. If I don't see it written down, it's harder for me to remember. But I could see those points of kinesthetic and certainly as a pianist, your fingers are in a certain place and making remembering where those fingers are supposed to be as a vocalist, the same way, where is my, you know, how am I forming I don't want to say your throat. It's not your vocal cords, how you're, you know, where you're putting that. But I never thought about it like that. I suppose that is true. You know, interestingly, I think everyone has their strengths. And maybe because I was visual, my strength as a piano player was always being able to sight read. I was not very good at the practicing and getting good at a piece and being able to perform it like the way you're supposed to. I was really good at picking up and reading it quickly and, you know, with mistakes, being able to get through it quickly. And
it's still impressive
for me to do the other. Well, it was hard for me to do the other. I always said, oh, because I didn't have the patience to go back and really learn it, you know?
Right, right. I feel like the other most common memorization type is auditory learners, which is the oral aspect, which blows my mind. I cannot imagine having somebody tell me an instruction over and over and getting it like that. I need to see a visual. And I suppose that's about the same equivalent. So I was curious, do you think that if a child was struggling with these, if they had a really hard time with kinesthetic abilities, a really hard time with oral, could they still succeed? Do you think they could still struggle through those points and be a successful musician or at least a capable musician?
I do believe that every child has the capability. So my guess would be that one might strengthen the other, or if you find that you're better at one, maybe we just naturally compensate. But I think just as they've learned about children and languages, right? If children that are exposed to certain languages early on are able to speak it more like a native tongue, then not, I think the same way with music. And it's not like you can't learn how to speak a language. You just may not, it may not be quite as innate as it would be if you started earlier.
Right. I was wondering if you're going to bring up that point because it's strongly in favor of music as an early discipline. What would you say to somebody older and younger learners who are pursuing music, but are struggling with those skills, with those innate abilities? What would you say to them? What advice would you give to help them work through those problems?
You know, I don't know. I feel like hearing is key. I probably would start with that. If you're singing or playing the piano, I think it's not so much that you're seeing what the notes are and you're learning the notes, and it really is your ears, right? Because you were processing the sounds as they come in, and we're getting automatic feedback. Again, if you're playing the piano, you hear if the notes are you're playing the right notes. I'd be really curious to find people that started, find it serious musicians that started later and just wanted to know what their experience was.
You hear those one in a million stories about that person that picked up the violin at 25 and then became first chair. It's astounding.
Yeah. Not impossible. I don't believe that it is impossible. I think it just might be a little harder, but
wonderful.
Not impossible.
It kind of makes you wonder how many people have innate abilities and just haven't found the way to express them. So,
right.
Gosh. Well, I would like to ask, so you've given us an overview of your history in the performing arts. You've explained the point up to where your kids came in, and you've just expressed your views on early education. I know that at some point you owned a small business. What was the drive towards that business and what led you to that point?
Well, I had started teaching kinder music classes, and it was really more of, I'd rent a little studio space, and it was very sort of small potatoes. But the more I did it, I really liked reaching families. I wanted to reach more families. I also have a strong interest in all the arts. So I loved doing little art classes. And so I eventually opened a business I called Jazz Berries. Mm. It was a center for music and art. And we had several studios inside, and I would offer my kinder music classes, but we also offered art classes. I had other people come in as well. I did baby infant sign language. We did a massage class. I mean, we did all kinds of things really focused towards families.
That's wonderful.
And that was a great place to have the kids be able to spend time and grow up, because they spent a lot of time there as well.
I can only imagine how that affected the way in which they were involved around music. I mean, it feels like a lot of their lives are just music based, and that's what a wonderful thing. There's only so few people in the world that can say that, right?
Well, I feel like we were blessed in that way. My husband obviously was in music, and he had a kid's band. I mean, it was all things music, So yeah.
Gosh, that's amazing. And for context to our listeners, we will be speaking to Susan's husband, Ray, at some point on a different subject matter in relation to music. For now, we are very interested in the music education side of things. And this is very enlightening in of itself, just to hear the many pots that you've dipped into, but how they all circulate back to this whole point of family and the relation of family to music. It seems to be quite a driving factor of your forces in that direction.
Yes, absolutely. But, you're recapping, I'm thinking too, I didn't just do babies and toddlers. I did babies, toddlers, and then as they got older and up to early elementary school, where we actually started teaching the children how to read music, even at kindergarten, first grade, second grade. And really how I can say many studies have supported the fact that classes, not just kinder music, but all of these classes in general, help a child with their reading, with their physical aspects, everything, the rhythm that they're learning and feeling in music are going to help them with bouncing a ball, turning the pages of a book. It all helps with their coordination. I think we all know about the correlation between math and music. Certainly.
I was just
Mozart,
about to say.
The Mozart effect. Yeah.
Two episodes ago, we covered Mathtastic was our episode. And we covered rap in relation to rhythm in music theory. And I always feel sad when we do these interviews because it's one or the other is interviewing. So Lucy is not here. She listens to Kids Bop rap with her 2-year-old son because it helps him keep a steady beat. And it's really interesting for his development. So absolutely love that. And thank you for mentioning that point, because that is a big aspect of this month's podcast episode theme, is the ways in which we can talk about one subject, but it dips into the other subjects in many respects. So especially music. I mean, let's think about how often we use music in an everyday, everyday lifestyle, everyday equivalences. Who doesn't listen to music in the morning? Who doesn't listen to it on the way home? We all have that little tenacity, right?
Absolutely.
Do you have a particular musical influence? Any genre?
Well, I have to say, and this actually brings back a really nice memory. My mother sang opera. And so I grew up listening to opera, especially the Italian ones, especially Puccini. And I have very, very fond and strong memories of, I mean, I can picture us sitting on her bed while the opera was playing in Italian, which I don't speak Italian. And she was telling us the story. So it was combining this music with storytelling. And honestly, I still love Puccini operas.
Amazing. And that really shows a nice mirror too of that link. Music is the universal language, right? You didn't know what they were saying, but you could feel, and your mother was translating.
Yes. Ugh. And also I feel like Puccini has gotten a bad name sometimes because it's so, the music is emotional. It's designed to evoke these emotions. And I say, okay, bring it on. I love it. You know, I mean, I'm the same way with movies that do that. So.
Amen to that. Can you spell his name for our listeners so I can also reference it in our notes?
Sure. Puccini, right? P-U-C-C-I-N-I.
All right. And to our listeners, we're going to...
Giacomo is his first name. Giacomo, I think.
All right. So we're going to list that in our notes references on each podcast episode. So that way, if anybody's listening and they're like, you know what, I've never heard of this guy, go down to the notes, search it up. His name is going to be right down there. Any particular song that you'd like to shout out?
Well, my, like a go-to song.
Sure. Of? Sure.
Well, you're going to laugh at this, but, well, I have two right now that I kind of go to. Okay. One is Dancing in the Moonlight by King Harp. It's like if I'm not in a good mood, I put that on and it instantly changed my mood. But I also like, if, do you remember the movie Fame?
Yes. Fantastic. Fame?
Okay.
Absolutely love it.
The finale where the kids are graduating and they're giving their performance. Listen to it. It's the Body Electric. I sing the Body Electric and it's just fantastic. Like the way that, like the orchestra comes in and it's fabulous. First 30 seconds or 45 seconds. I don't know how long it's like, it builds. And then it kind of explodes just at the beginning. And the whole song is fabulous, but that's my favorite part is the beginning.
I was going to say, what music gives you the most peace and what music gives you the most, gets you revved up, excited. I think you just answered that unless you have another you'd like to throw in.
I mean, it does change every once in a while. There might be another one, but those are, and in general for me, musical theater. That's what I listen to all day. Like if I
love it
today while I was working, I had the Sirius on Broadway channel on and I just love Broadway music.
Top three musical theater shows.
Ooh, gosh, that's a hard one.
It is. Okay. Top three must watch for people who are new to musical theater. Does that help? Makes it more like if you had to give a recommendation to listeners who aren't familiar.
Okay. Well, gosh, depends. Do you want to cry? Do you not want to cry? I mean, Wicked was fantastic. Okay. You know, when I saw it on Broadway, the overture started and I burst into tears. I saw Lion King. With your mother-in-law, my sister, and your husband and his brother. And same thing. It was so beautiful. So, but those were extraordinary productions on Broadway. So I'm just trying to think, like in general, like what shows every time you see it, no matter where you're seeing it. I would probably have to be like a Sondheim show, I think.
Oh, okay.
The complexity of a Sondheim, like Sunday in the Park or Into the Woods. Love Into the Woods. Yep.
Ooh, yep. And I have to, especially, I mean, Lion King, everyone's seen, I'm assuming everybody has seen the movie. The Broadway musical is a whole different ballpark. Into the Woods might be a great suggestion in of the fact that I believe that is the only one that has been captured in motion picture of those three in its Broadway format. Lion King is not in its Broadway format, correct? Not even the live action?
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. And you can see, did they capture Into the Woods?
They did. They did that movie. It had,
The movie.
Remember the movie. I want to bear in mind for some of our listeners here, because I'm constantly amazed, and I need to not be, that there are people in this world that have not seen a lot of musical theater. They have not had the chance to. And I guess in many ways, especially if you live in more of a rural area, it is a little hard to get out to those shows. So luckily, yeah. I know that there's been a lot of issues with these movie productions, these movie capturings of Broadway musicals. But I suppose if you look at it one way, it is capturing it for the smaller audience, the less accessible audience. Doesn't mean they're good or great even. But Cats the Musical, would you recommend that?
I would not. I agree with you. I think I support any, you know, musical endeavor that's going to get it out there. I feel like some people do a better job of putting it on the screen than others. And sometimes I feel like that there's something lost in the translation between the stage version. And like, for instance, Into the Woods was a fine movie.
Okay.
I felt for me, like it didn't even come close to the stage version.
I can only imagine.
Personally.
Yeah. Right. Good analysis. And I like the three that you just gave here. Well, the four, if you include Sunday in the Park, because Sunday in the Park and Wicked, as somebody who enjoys musical theater, but is not too enthralled, I would put those two in this higher category of worth watching. You need to make an extra effort and go find a local production to go see it or go look at the music online. Lion King, classic. Everybody knows it. You can go listen to the music. And then finally, Into the Woods. There is an accessible option. So great choice with those four. I think that our listeners can really take a nice selection from those four. And then do you have a personal favorite ballpark out of here that you would like to shout out?
One of my favorite musicals was the musical Nine. And I don't think it's really well known. It was based on a movie by Fellini, the director Fellini, 8 and a Half. And it was a musical that was done, I want to say, in the 80s. But and Raul Julia did the lead guy, and it was one guy, and it was all women, the rest of the cast. And it was based on an Italian director. It was very Italian, a lot of Italian women. And I just loved it. I thought it was great. I don't know how well it did. And then they made a movie, and I will tell you, the movie is not very good.
Okay. Okay.
Unfortunately. But that's probably one of my favorites that I don't know how many people really know it.
Personally, I do not know that one. The name is very familiar. And I think it had a pretty star-struck cast, didn't it? It had like Nicole Kidman and
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when this came out because I was an early teen when this came out, the movie. And I was in awe. I was like that. There are so many famous actresses in one movie. And I was shocked. Never saw it. Still haven't made the effort to. So Nine, I will keep that in mind. And not the movie.
I didn't like the movie.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm not sure if they do any productions of that anymore. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on. Every time I think about it, I think of another show that I really like. So it's hard to pick just one. Cause then there's shows with roles that I'd like to do now or shows that I used to want to do or, you know, when I was younger and then shows that, I would like to sit and watch. So they're all different, I suppose.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's great for anybody listening because it's a good way to jump into the musical theater world. It's hard to get into if you don't know where to start, I would argue.
Yeah, you know, you might be right. It's so funny because I've grown up with it so much. That's the idea. I have to really step back and go, oh, okay. I guess some people don't know, you know, these shows or what they're like. But yeah, you're right to really sit back and think about it. I would certainly would think Hamilton would be appealing.
It's, right.
You know, topical and fun.
Mainstream. And, you know, everybody seems to know it nowadays.
To jump in if to go see that. Yeah, absolutely.
So perhaps could you say that the best introduce your child to musical theater show would be Lion King and the best introduce an adult to musical theater would be Hamilton?
Yeah, so I'd probably go with Hamilton for, yeah. And for kids, yeah, I mean, Lion King is, and I thought they did a nice job because they didn't just take the animated show and put it on, dress people up in animals and try to, you know, recreate it. They really took an interesting take with the African sort of puppets that they use.
I've heard
in the
about
show.
This.
It's just breathtakingly beautiful.
Ugh. I'm going to take a negative segue from this point because we were just talking about the fact that there are some people in this world that unfortunately are not aware of musical theater. They don't know a lot of music outside of what's on the radio. Since 1997, it's been shown there's a steady decline in funding for American musical theater programs at public schooling, despite the fact that numerous studies have found that involvement in music programs from an early age helps with exactly what you were talking about, motor skills, language, communication, and it influences your brain plasticity. I thought you'd love this. One study showed that students who took 4 years of art and music courses scored over 90 points higher on the SAT compared to students who took one semester or less. What points would you make in defense of retaining strong music programs in public school systems?
I feel like this is a common sense thing. I'm as a parent, right? And as a person who went through it, as a person who felt like I gained a lot of confidence, honestly, the performing that I did helps me in my job today. You know, when I have to give a presentation, when I have to talk, you know, to my coworkers, it's stayed with me. It's something that's I'm always going to have. And also, I then as a parent and as a teacher, I saw what these programs did for children. I remember a young man in one of my daughter's shows who was shy, tentative, had never done a show before. And after being in this show and being recognized for his part, it was a funny part and people started acknowledging him outside of it. You could see him walk with just a little bit more confidence, you know, and that's something that will always stay with him. I don't think he went into theater as a career, but it made a difference when he was in high school. And I think obviously, you know, unfortunate is not the word. I don't know what else to say. Yes, you know, that's we need funding. We need to find a way to continue to fund this. It's important. And I'm not really sure what else to say. I think that we need to make sure we have our priorities straight.
Agreed. Like you said, it's common sense. I've actually linked below for any of our listeners. There's a website called SaveTheMusic.org, and they specialize in addressing ways that you can actively get involved in your community to better advocate for music in school programs, as well as exactly what you're saying, the common facts, the common denominator as to the health points behind it. I love that story about how this child was a better, more confident person because of it. And for any adults listening, to your point, exactly, you're a better speaker. You're more likely to enunciate, probably listen better if you're involved in music more often. And to anybody who naysays, I mean, let's consider how much we listen to music on an everyday basis, how much we consume music on a daily basis. It's a huge part of our lives.
Yes, absolutely.
You mentioned that music being a part of your life has helped you as you've moved through your career. We've talked about beginning to middle. You've talked about how you went into music, how it was part of your life. You've talked about your business working in, was it the New Jersey area?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing now? What is this career that you've delved into? I know you've had a very wide range career. within education, music, and just these studies in between. Where has this led you?
Well, after leaving New Jersey and moving to Virginia, I really wanted to focus more on the educational aspect. I got a job as a teacher at a private school, and I was teaching an after-school program at first, and then I had my own preschool class. And I loved it. I loved the idea of having my own class, and I loved these kids. They were very little. They were 2.5. And certainly I used my music a lot when I was teaching in the classroom. But then that evolved to, I did that for several years. That have jumped from there to a community center where I was also able to use my creativity. Well, in fact, I offered one of the things I did, I taught music classes there.
Wonderful.
As well as overseeing and supporting the preschool classes and the other classes that we had going on there, worked there several years. And I'm currently now overseeing several after schools programs in Loudoun County.
That's fantastic. Do you have a particular, you've had this breadth of experience in music and childhood. Do you have a particular memory that you'd like to reflect upon in relation to children and music? Something that was really special to you.
Actually, there was one time I went into Emma's class, right? And I don't really know now when I think about it, what I was thinking, because you were in, were you in fourth grade? Who was your, Miss Brody? Who's her? Third. Okay, she was in third grade. And I decided I was going to come into the classroom and teach them all the story of Les Mis. I had pictures and we listened to the music samples. And I'm like going through the story with them because they, you know, in a younger version, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what happened by Emma. And my daughter, of course, was rapt. And there was another young man, actually, who was the son of the artistic director of Paper Mill Playhouse, which is a big time thing, who also rapt. Everyone else was kind of like, okay, why are we doing that? But one of the things I did remember was I sang to my kids every night. I know a lot of parents do. A lot of my go-to songs were from musicals. I sang a version of Goodnight, My Someone from Music Man. Well, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, of course. There's a song called Sleepy Man from, I'm not thinking of the musical now. I can't think of what is the musicals that I would sing. And I sang every night long after Emma, my daughter, outgrew it. My son actually wanted me to sing to him. I was still singing to him when he was in middle school, Spencer. And he still wanted me to. So that was nice.
That's lovely. I feel like you're making a good advocation right now for parents singing to their children. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. And also want to add, you know, so many parents say, oh, I can't sing. Your kids don't care.
They don't care.
They love your voice. It doesn't matter what it sounds like.
So I will throw in a funny story in relation to that, though. When I was around 11, I was babysitting a child and I was singing them to sleep for their nap. And she looks at me, she grabs my hand. She goes, stop singing. I don't like it. I was like, good to know. I won't sing to you anymore.
Well, see, and to add on to that story, Spencer, you know, I was a professional singer. I was a trained singer. And when Emma was very little, toddler, sitting in her car seat in the back, I remember in the car singing and her saying, mama, mama, mommy, don't sing. It had nothing to do with your voice. It just, I don't know, maybe it's a control issue.
Oh, I like that answer. Children controlling. So do you have any personal affectionate memory? Just you and music, no kids involved. Let's make this the leave off point. What is your favorite personal memory in relation to music?
I never really wanted to go into it for a career, but I do love singing opera. I'm trying to think if there was anything like, what was the penultimate to point to some of my favorite roles that I did and sang.
like I got to do play Evita at Shenandoah Summer Music Theater. And that was fantastic to be able to sing that. Well, actually, that's funny because that does tie back to, you know, I used to get an album. Of course, we had albums only at the time. I remember, I think Chorus Line might have been my first musical album that I played over and over and over. Right. There was a little skip. So now, to even today, when I hear the song that has that skip in it, when I'm hearing it, I'm waiting for that skip, right? When I'm listening to it on the radio, because I listened to it so much. And I actually got to see it. We went on as a high school trip. I got to see Chorus Line. But another one of those albums was Evita. And that was when I knew it backwards and forward. So when I was cast in it, I knew it. And it was fantastic to be able to perform.
I love it. Do you have any parting advice for parents trying to encourage their children to pick up music, to get into the playing of an instrument, singing or whatnot?
Well, I think listening to music is really important. I think exposing them to different types of music, you know, because like you said, it makes more sense. Children learn different ways. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the Kinder Music Program does with the last part of it, the one where they're learning to read music, is they get an experience on a simple stringed instrument, the dulcimer, a wind instrument. It's like, it's the soprano recorder, and a keyboard, a pre-keyboard, the glockenspiel, right? Because you're learning the notes and how the notes progress, and you're using your hands to play that with the mallets. So that might be a good way to sort of get a sense of which one do they seem to be more drawn to. Let them sort of take the lead. And I love piano as a starter for most kids. It's going to be a little easier than a violin, in that, you know, you hit the letter C, the note C rather, you're going to play the note C. With a violin, it's a little trickier, right? Because you won't get as much satisfaction out of the sounds that come out as you do maybe with piano. And I think piano is a great base for, you go from there, then you can learn other instruments as well.
That's great advice. I really like that. So it's, I would argue, especially the people that you hear in this world that play the piano, like they picked it up, or play guitar, like they pick guitar up. I mean, they have so much innate, there's so much ability from being able to do that. So many things that you can start doing, little performances with friends, little songs you can pick up. That is such a good point. The route that can lead you to. Well said. Which reminds me, I need to take that up. I need to try to pick up the piano or try getting into that. So I think that's very good advice to lead off of.
You can start a little, not a talent show, but like a little recital amongst your friends. Everyone has to learn something new and come and, you know.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That's actually a great idea for any of the mommy groups listening. What a nice way to get together.
Right. And then your kids are seeing you do it. Oh, I think it'd be awesome.
That'd be so cute. Like those mommy and me groups where they have everyone get together and talk with their kids. But if they're playing instruments, the kids are to follow along. Ooh, exactly. I love that new business venture idea right there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, in the meantime, this has been an amazing conversation. I really look forward to posting this episode. And if you have any points, any links that you want to give us in post, feel free to. We'll get a link that below. In the meantime, please keep an eye out for Susan Leone's new blog she'll be starting soon regarding the marriage of food and musical theater. She'll be making this amazing interactive experience where she watches musicals, movies, and whatnot, and she creates recipes in relation to those amazing movies and experiences. So, a brilliant woman to talk to. Keep up with her and her amazing work in the field. Susan Leone, it's been a pleasure. And this is the Speckled Bees signing out.